Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith back with you guys again. And this week, shoot, what's today's Monday? Monday, December 7th. And I don't know about you guys, but right now, I feel like it's not December 7th. I don't know. So I feel like it used to snow in December. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe West Michigan, it doesn't snow in December, and it hasn't for a long time. But I'm sitting here recording this episode for you guys and just got off the phone with a buddy of mine who I'm setting up a tee time with and shooting to play golf with on Thursday the 10th, the 10th of December. And this is about the time where I've talked about it on the last couple episodes. We're wrapping up the season, starting to kind of transition to some indoor work, mental game stuff, things of that nature. But I'm getting ready to tee it up this week, and I'm stoked about that because I've been working really, really hard on a few things, and this is just kind of a fun opportunity for me to get out and just mess around and try it out on grass as opposed to hitting off a mat or making practice swings in my living room, which I'm very, very near to taking a divot out of my carpet, I think. My wife is getting a little, well, she doesn't like the carpet that much anyway, but she razzes me every time I make contact with the quote unquote turf in our family room. So, but anyway, I'm super excited to play golf this week. I don't know about you guys, but I don't call myself a fair weather golfer. I don't really like to get out in the elements if I don't have to, but I haven't played in a while. I'm sure you guys haven't played in a while. So maybe some of you guys are taking advantage of this unusually warm weather we're having this week. And I think there's areas of Michigan that get snow still this time of year, but Grand Rapids is not one of them. And Thursday's high is 50. So you better believe that I'm gonna be out at Kauffman with a couple of guys, teeing it up and hanging out. So not gonna talk too much about that. Just kind of wanted to piggyback a little bit off of last week's episode discussing the mental game. We talked pretty extensively about Dr. Bob Rotella and his book, Golf is Not a Game of Perfect. And I finished that over the last couple of days. And one of the things that kind of, it was that in conjunction with another event, a buddy of mine shot me a text and was talking about setting goals. He was talking about setting goals for the upcoming season. And I thought, you know what? It's a great question to ask, and it's a great topic of conversation for you guys. So what are your goals? That's right, podcast. You guys can't actually talk back because I'm sitting here by myself. But that joke never gets old until it does. But until it does, I might make it every once in a while. So glad to have you guys here. We're going to talk goals, goal setting. We can maybe touch a little bit about 2020. I know I had some goals for this year that did and did not kind of come to fruition, but looking forward to 2021. Shared a couple of new things with you guys between getting involved with TaylorMade and stuff, and I may or may not have another trick up my sleeve over the next few weeks to month, but we'll see. I'm not going to divulge any details there yet, but there's a lot going on. So, but before I get into much of anything, we're going to do the usual drill, break for the ad, and then when I get back, let's talk more golf. Right on, guys. Welcome back. And this past week, the last couple of weeks, I got to tell you, just again, just kind of reiterating the fact that the season in my mind is trying to wind down. Again, this is the time of year that Paul's clubs collect dust. Mine still get a lot of use indoor, whether it's at my coach's place where I've been to hit a couple of balls. I helped him kind of rearrange and organize his golf studio last week, which was awesome. Got to kind of help purge some things, kind of exiting the 2021 year and make room for what's new to come in 2021. So I got to share some cool things with him because he's been super busy. He's heavily invested in the First Tee program over here in West Michigan, and he's had a big role and a big part in that and just kind of adapting to everything that's come in a COVID-19 world and still helping kids learn the game of golf and life skills and everything that the First Tee has to offer. So super excited to catch up with him last week. We're going to start doing a weekly thing together and kind of get more involved in each other's golf life again. And looking forward to that. And that might be something I bring to you guys. But again, it's just been kind of weird because I feel like in Michigan golf, I feel like there's nothing happening. And at the same time, I feel like there's a lot happening. And so I shared with you guys some books, some reading material to get into the off season. Maybe you guys jumped on Google, maybe you guys checked out Amazon or eBay and maybe found a couple of copies of whether it's Golf is Not a Game of Perfect, 7 Days in Utopia, or just checked out Ryan Holiday's books. That series again is awesome. And I picked up that book that I mentioned to you guys last week, the one by Bobby Jones and O.B. Keeler. So I started that. That book was, it's called Down the Fairway, and it was originally published in 1927. Again, half of it, I mean, it's written by both Bobby Jones and O.B. Keeler, majority Bobby Jones. And again, half of it is kind of a memoir, kind of a type of a book like that. Bobby Jones kind of talking in the first person about his life. And just kind of sharing his story from growing up and just getting involved in the game of golf. And it's an interesting story. I'm not going to share a ton with you guys, but I encourage you to check out the book because it's super interesting. I'm only three chapters deep, and I'm hooked and excited to see kind of where it goes. Part two is him kind of giving more tips and insight on how he played the game and how he viewed the game of golf and the competitive arena, and then what kind of led him to retire and stuff at the early age that he did. But again, tangent. I feel like I could get pretty rambly this episode. So if you stick with me, awesome. Because who knows what's to come, right? It's again, you just never know what you're gonna get here. So talking about goal setting, that's kind of where I want to dovetail into next. And so again, I had a buddy of mine listen to the episode last week talking about the mental game, and this was in between the podcast went live on Tuesday. I met up with my coach on Friday. Yeah, Friday. And every year since I've moved back to West Michigan from North Carolina, I would get involved with my coach. We'd sit down, we'd kind of do a year in review. Hey, what went well? What didn't go well? What are we going to look to achieve over the next few months that we call the off season? And then how are we going to get ready and be ready to come out guns a blazing in spring? And it's been different every year. And sometimes I've gone in, I think, and I've had mixed results. And so I don't know. I'm going to kind of give you guys some insight on different things that I've done, different things that I've not done, and maybe what's worked for me, and give you guys some ideas on what might work for you. So, year one, and year one is going to be 2017. Moved back here in 2016, sat down with my coach. We set some pretty lofty goals going into the new year. 2017, I was going to get back into playing a regular competitive schedule. Da, 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 da. I had some goals for results that I wanted to kind of achieve, and achieved a lot. Kind of went in there, set lofty goals, and part of setting these lofty goals was putting them on paper. I wanted to get pen to paper, so I had kind of a golf journal, a golf notebook. And gosh, another trade secret here. If Paul, if you're listening, man, Dirk, if you're listening, man, I had this little black book that I used to tote around the office at my last job when Paul's my boss. So this little black book had absolutely zero to do with work. There were no work notes. It wasn't for meetings. It wasn't for prospecting. It wasn't for anything to do with my sales job. It was purely a golf notebook. I used to just kind of write down thoughts, goals, kind of strategy, just kind of a daily log of maybe what I was working on, what I wanted to work on next, how things were going, just kind of a progress notes type deal, and getting ready for the upcoming season. And I tilt that book around a little less in the summertime, but still in the summer, I like to log my practice and stuff like that. But the big thing with goals is you got to put pen to paper. You got to write them down because it just makes them, it makes them that much more real. Put them on note cards, put them in a notebook, wherever you need to do. Put them on a piece of paper and tape it to your wall, to your bathroom mirror, wherever you're going to see those goals and kind of set out to say, hey, this is what I'm working towards today. It's right there. It's in front of me. And on top of kind of the big overall kind of umbrella goals, as my coach and I have kind of come to call them sometimes, I was telling my buddy, I said, you got to kind of take those, and I hate the words reverse engineer because that's not it. I mean, we're not trying to reverse engineer things, and some, those are just, they're buzzwords, and some people use them in weird ways, and I don't care for it. So I'm going to steer clear of that. But what we are going to do is we're going to set mini goals. We're going to set kind of benchmarks, and what those are going to be is we're going to have lofty goals that we want to achieve, whether that's compete in an area golf tournament, finish top five, win, qualify for a Michigan Open, qualify for a USAM, qualify for anything, or whatever your kind of objectives are. Maybe you just want to beat your buddies almost every time you play. Maybe you want to break 90, break 80. Again, everybody's goals are going to be different. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the benchmarks. What can I achieve in between today, in between this moment and the actual achievement of that goal that is going to help me achieve that goal, if that makes sense. I mean, I kind of got a little twisted there. But so hypothetically, let's go back to 2017. My goal was to qualify for the Michigan Open. I ended up achieving that goal, but there was a lot that kind of went into play along the way. And so I set that goal probably in November, December of 2016. And yeah, I can write that down. I can put that in my golf notebook. I can put it wherever I want to put it. And I can see that. I can think about it every day. But the fact of the matter is, until I show up, in my case, to the Country Club of Lansing and participate in the qualifier for the Michigan Open, what am I going to do to work towards achieving that goal? What are kind of some of those little pieces along the way that I can strive for and achieve to, one, build confidence, two, make me a better golfer, and three, just prepare me for that day. When I show up at the Country Club of Lansing, prepare me to show up, play well, play my best golf, and punch my ticket to the Michigan Open. And so that's kind of something that I think not a lot of people address. And I think my buddy that I was texting, I think he appreciated the insight. I mean, I sent him a really long text message. He never texted me back. So maybe he liked it. Maybe he didn't. Maybe I got a little too long-winded. Maybe I rambled a little bit. So if you're listening right now, you know, I'm going to call you out, Tyler. If you're listening right now, you didn't text me back, man. I tried to give you some insight. I tried to just shed some light on kind of what I do and what might help. But I see. It's fine. Selective response. It's cool. But anyway, I'm sure you'll text me after you hear this, because I just called you out on a Michigan golf podcast. So there's that. But where was I? Okay. Kind of the benchmarks. And everybody's benchmarks are going to be different depending on what your goals are. And again, not just depending on what your goals are, but also depending on the capacity at which you have to improve. I mean, flexibility, strength training, working indoors. If you can't make full swings and you can't work on your game and kind of your fundamentals and your technique, you can always work on your fundamentals and technique. So let's kind of start there. Indoors, no matter what your situation, I'm trying to make this as broad spectrum and available to the masses as possible. Because again, you guys have been awesome. Listenership has gone up. Instagram engagement has gone up. I mean, there's been a lot going on. You guys have been awesome. So I want to try and continue to provide valuable content to help improve your game. So when you're at home, even if you have low ceilings, I have another buddy who messaged me. He's like, man, my ceilings are too low to make full swings. And I'm like, I get that. That is the case in probably most people's houses. Again, this guy, he's probably like 6'4". So he's a tall dude. So I'm sure there's more ceilings that are too low for him than that are not. But you can always work on, they call it PGA, posture, grip, and alignment, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. So keep that, remember that, PGA. I mean, you want to strive to play better golf, posture, grip, and alignment, right there. And if you can really, really dial those in, perfect those fundamentals, work on those every day, you'll be surprised, I think, at the amount that you can improve without even making a golf swing and without even hitting a shot. And because those three fundamentals are key to almost everything. I've learned a lot just in the last couple of weeks. Again, consulted with a different swing instructor. And one of the things that we addressed are, I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Hold on, pump the brakes, man. All right, let's posture, grip, and alignment. So posture, you need an athletic stance. You got to get into position where, I mean, golf is an athletic motion. It's an athletic move. And there's a lot of moving parts. And posture, the way you address the golf ball, is so important to achieving the results that you want to achieve throughout the swing. Because, I mean, think about it. The golf swing, it's just a series of motion that is cause and effect. And the way you position yourself at address is going to either tee you up as a successful cause for a successful cause for a successful effect. That's a tongue twister. Let's try and say that five times fast. But that's kind of where it all begins. Athletic posture, and that's balanced. That's, I mean, where's your weight distribution? Where's your, I mean, you got to set yourself up for success there. Because one of the things that I've learned is golf is just like anything else in the natural world. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So let's think about that for a second. And whatever we do, wherever we start, your body is going to instinctively pursue the opposite motion from wherever you're kind of beginning. So, for example, myself, I'm going to tee myself up here for your guys's mental viewing pleasure. And I have a tendency, and one of my biggest problems in the golf swing is I get my weight too far back on my heels. And by doing that from square one, from the address position, you get too far back on your heels. And what has to happen? What has to happen for your body to compensate? It's going to be a compensatory, as that's even a word, move that your body is going to make subconsciously to get back off of your heels. So what's going to happen? You're going to move from your heels out towards your toes. And that's going to happen in one of two places. It's going to happen on the backswing or it's going to happen on the downswing. In my case, it's the backswing. So what happens is I start on my heels, I move towards my toes, and then I'm guilty of a major swing fault in early extension. My hips move towards the golf ball, I lose my posture, I lose my spine angle, I lose my tilt, and just all kinds of bad things happen as an effect of the root cause of setting up with my weight on my heels. So, what do we do to combat that? I mean, there's tons of things because you can look at the golf swing and you can say, hey, early extension is your problem. Hey, you're throwing the club at impact. I mean, instead of staying in your posture and rotating through and rotating out to your left through impact and into the follow through, you're throwing the club and you're getting a lot of hand speed, but it's also causing a lot of face rotation and it also causes a ton of just variables in dispersion and controlling distance and all kinds of things. There's a multitude of problems that come from that kind of error in the golf swing. But here's the thing. I mean, you look at that. I mean, maybe a coach is going to address the early extension. Maybe they're going to address kind of fast hands through impact and throwing the club at the ball. But again, cause and effect, guys. And you got to look at the what's causing that issue. What's causing that fundamental challenge? And 9 times out of 10, you can go back to PGA, posture, grip, or alignment. And so, for me, first thing that this consultant pointed out was he goes, hey man, you set up with your weight on your heels. Your weight on your heels is then causing you to do this, which is causing this, which is causing this, which is causing this. We got a simple fix for you. Get your weight in the right position at address. And just by purely doing that, you're going to free your body up. You're going to free your motion up, and you're going to free up your ability to eliminate the problems in your golf swing that are causing these wayward shots and causing these problems that kind of are all facilitated by one simple challenge, one simple issue. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like you kind of think about golf and you think about the complexity of this game and the complexity of the movement, and you think, how can it be that simple? But let me tell you what, it really, truly, almost is that simple because it's been maybe 3 weeks or so, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I've been working very diligently, taking carpet divots in my living room, setting up with my weight on my toes. I try, for me, it feels like my weight is so far over on my toes, it's insane. I don't even know how I'm standing upright. But what happens is it's forcing my body to go from one extreme to another and causing a total inverse of all kind of fundamental applications throughout the swing. So by starting on my toes, suddenly I'm not moving forward on the backswing. I'm not moving forward on the downswing. It's freeing me up to stay in my posture. It's freeing me up to keep my hips back and rotate and do all of the things that I've been trying to get my body to do for years. I just have never addressed the actual fundamental issue that's caused my problems. So pretty excited about that. And that doesn't really kind of fall in the category of goal setting and benchmarks and all that stuff where I started. Again, probably a rambly podcast here for you guys today, but I still think it's valuable information. So the other thing, other elements of posture, I mean, again, people look at weight, heels, toes, etc. And one of the things that you kind of got to take into consideration is alignment, and not just alignment of your feet, your hips, your shoulders, your arms aligning with the target, but make sure all the fundamental pieces are lined up and stacked effectively, stacked in the way that they're supposed to. I mean, an alignment like hips over the balls of your feet. This kind of goes in hand with weight distribution. If your weight gets too far back, your hips are going to be too far back. If your weight gets too far forward, your hips are going to be too far forward. And fundamentally, when you look at your golf swing on video, if you take a kind of a down the line, and everyone's familiar with down the line video or photography, and you see a golfer in his address position, and if you were to draw a line from the center of your hips straight down to the ground, perpendicular, you would see hips and balls of your feet. You want those really, really, really close to being right over top of each other. That's going to allow you the most freedom of motion. It's going to allow you to get the hip turn that you need on the backswing, and it's going to allow you to, again, return to impact in kind of a fluid way and fundamentally sound way, and then it's going to allow you to rotate out. And obviously, golf's a rotational game. We're standing on the side of this ball, and we're expected to turn back, turn through, and hit this tiny ball on a line to our target. And the only way to do that is proper alignment and good strong fundamentals. So addressing those things is key. Grip. Let's kind of move on to that one just ever so briefly, because grip is there. It's hard to talk about on a podcast, because I'd love to kind of, maybe if you guys are having problems with your grip or challenges with your ball flight, grip is a great place to start as well, because you hear it all the time: strong grip, neutral grip, weak grip. But what is that, and what does that mean to you, and how does that kind of correlate with your golf swing? Because again, everybody's different. And so maybe your left hand grip is strong, but your right hand grip is weak. Conflict of interest there? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, again, it's so individualized that you honestly, without seeing it, I can't talk a ton about grip, because again, there's just kind of that static, stereotypical, again, strong, neutral, weak grip position. But the way your body moves is different, and everybody kind of needs to grip the club a little bit differently in order to produce the results that they want. So is there, yes, maybe a fundamentally acceptable or stereotypical way to hold the golf club to produce the shot and maybe kind of give yourself the best chances to produce the shot that you're looking to? Yes, but it is still kind of individualized, I believe. So that's kind of tough to address here. But and then alignment, I kind of already touched on that a little bit. Alignment of the body, just kind of stacked up at address, hips over the balls of your feet, shoulders over your hands, kind of a straight line there. At least with most clubs, you can get a little extended with the driver. And then, I mean, other things, other components of alignment include, yeah, squared up. I struggle with alignment like crazy. It's insane. It drives me absolutely nuts, because posture and alignment are probably two of those are probably the two fundamentals that I struggle with. You know what? I could even throw grip in there. I'm depending on the day, I'm a whole golf mess. But again, I've been doing it for so long that you just kind of find ways to work around it and find things that work for you. But alignment is, for me, I always, always, always end up with a close stance. So for me, being a right-handed golfer, that means I have a tendency to walk into a golf ball, and I think my eyes must be crooked on my head or something, because I swear I'm lined up at that target. I swear I'm aimed right at it, or kind of train tracked, parallel lines with the ball and the target line. But I tell you what, I'll hit shots and I'll sit there and I'll miss greens right, I'll miss fairways to the right, and I keep track of this stuff. I use the apps. I keep track of stats, and I know fairways missed, I know greens missed, I know whether I miss them right, left, short, long, etc. And I pay close attention to that, and it blows my mind, and it drives me nuts how often I miss right. And I can't even tell you how ridiculous it is that such a big component of that is the fact that I purely aim there. I aim right more often than not, and I think it comes from growing up playing a draw. I'm not really that strong of a drawer of the golf ball anymore, especially off the tee. The irons, I can pure it. It's great. I love it. The driver, fairway woods, off the tee, I don't draw the ball that much. I think it's just kind of the way my swing has kind of come together over the years, and I don't know, maybe it's a lack of mobility, maybe it's too much muscle movements, too much kind of working out in that capacity, not enough flexibility training. I don't know. But I work on it. I try and figure it out. But alignment is huge, and getting in the right place at the right time is huge. And this is where either video analysis or another set of eyes really helps, because I know a lot of golfers too are the opposite. A lot of golfers end up kind of setting up open. They end up aiming left of target, which is inadvertently causing them. For me, aiming right causes me to hit blocks. I hit pushes and sometimes push cuts that end up right going right. We talked about that early on in this podcast season. But for others, I mean, you might be aiming left. You might be aligned too far left, which is either causing you to kind of come over the top and pull it, because your body's trying to instinctively swing down the line that you set up for it at address, or two, you slice, and which is a problem for probably 90% of the golfers, and nobody likes to slice the ball, so you continually aim further left, and then you continually to kind of swing left, and that club face remains open, maybe because of a grip thing or just kind of a swing mechanic thing. And next thing you know, you're aiming left, hitting poles, and you're hitting bigger slices. And so again, we're all trying to kind of eliminate the two-way miss. And so my suggestion for you guys, regardless of what your capacity for practice is during this off-season, posture, grip, and alignment. Address those three fundamentals, practice them in your living room, because it doesn't take any space at all to set up with a golf club. Keep a golf club leaning against the wall. Maybe your wife doesn't like it as decor. Maybe it's worth an argument, maybe not. Maybe your kids are gonna pick it up and knock it into some of the stuff on your TV cabinet or maybe your TV screen. So maybe if that's the case, don't leave a golf club up against the wall in your family room. Just my wife and I at the house, and thankfully my animals don't have thumbs, so I don't have to worry about them picking it up and causing any trouble. Although my cats do kind of knock into it when they wrestle sometimes, and they have knocked over a couple of things, but that's the nature of the cat, I suppose. And so yeah, work on that. Fundamentals, posture, grip, and alignment. Take your stance. I mean, take some photos, take some videos. Get yourself in some good positions. I mean, take some nuggets here that I kind of shared and see what you can do. But let's circle that all the way back around to where we kind of began this episode with setting goals. And what are your goals? What are your goals? What are my goals? I'm not going to divulge my goals here on the Michigan Golf Podcast. I've got a lot, and I've got a couple of things up my sleeve too that are going to maybe potentially help me achieve some goals inside the game of golf, but outside of my playing ability. So obviously, I kind of shared with you guys that I got the role with TaylorMade. So super excited for that. Again, they got a product launch coming up in February. So as I continue to get squared away with them, I'm going to get my hands on some demo equipment and be able to help you guys get fit for some new stuff coming up for the 2021 season, which is going to be awesome. But I've got a lot of playing goals too. I know what I want to do. I know the quality of golf that I'm capable of playing, and I know what I want to get back to. And every step of the way, everything that I do day in and day out is, I mean, I mentioned it a couple episodes ago. That pillow my grandpa got me. Eat, sleep, and golf. I mean, I've got a, I don't know. I don't know if it's a bad thing, if it's a good thing, but that's my brain. That's the inner workings of my mind. So I try to do other things like real jobs and have work and get things done. And I live a pretty good farm life and I have stuff here, hobbies with my wife. I get outdoors. So don't think I'm just like super duper hyper focused on the game of golf, but a lot of the things that I do try to align to improve the way I play or improve the level that I can participate in the game of golf in my everyday life. And so TaylorMade's going to be awesome. Super excited about that. I do have another potential opportunity potentially in the works, and it's very, very early stages, so I'm not even going to divulge any details to you guys other than the little teaser that I already dropped. But we'll see. Maybe more to come, maybe not. If it drops off the radar, not. But we'll see. But my goals, I've got a lot going into the new year, and a lot of them are centered around competition because, again, you guys have been along this journey long enough this year to know that my playing ability, it comes and it goes, and it's been such an inconsistent cluster of scores that have occurred. I have somehow, some way maintained a reasonable handicap. Reasonable is dumb. It's an above average handicap because my good days are really good, but my bad days are still really bad. And I'm looking to kind of narrow that, tighten that up, and compete on the level that I want to compete on. And heading into 2021, I don't know about you guys, but I just want a regular golf season. I want a regular golf season. I do not want to go into 2021. Hopefully, we can get this COVID stuff behind us, at least in some capacity, and return to normalcy in the competitive golf world, because I want to watch the tour guys play. I want to see four majors next year, and I want to see all the calendar events in their appropriate places on the calendar. And I want my events in the appropriate places on the calendar. I got pretty amped up last year for everything, and I was down in Alabama on my golf trip that I take every year when the COVID shutdown kind of began. and we were in the middle of the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail and cruising around there, and all of a sudden stuff started to shut down. That's when they stopped the Players Championship. Immediately they ceased that competition and then proceeded to cancel all events for the next 8 weeks or whatever it was. And so I thought, shoot, I'm here in the middle of this buddy's trip trying to play some golf down south and enjoy a reprieve from this Michigan winter. And I was just hoping that golf courses weren't closing, but they immediately took action. It was just kind of heavily sanitizing golf carts. Obviously, it was still pre-mask, so nobody was too worried about that. But Alabama in February slash March, I mean, the RTJ trail is not super slammed, so I'm pretty stoked to get back down there again. We're gonna be going in February, probably mid-month by the sounds of it. I'm gonna be playing golf with a guy, one of the guys that I go with, here on Thursday. So I'm sure we'll talk a bit about kind of scheduling that out. But looking ahead, I just want a regular golf season. That's goal number one. Have a regular competitive schedule, something that I can pencil down, put on a calendar, and then start setting my benchmarks as to what I want to achieve and what I want to work towards, kind of in the process of getting to those events. So whether that's the US Open qualifier the first week of May, all the local events, I've kind of gotten engaged a little bit more with, maybe you guys, if you follow them on, if you guys are on Instagram, I imagine you are. I mean, I hope so. I put a lot of content out on there as far as podcast hype goes, if you can call podcast hype hype, but I think it is. And one of the companies, or one of the groups that I follow on Instagram that I've gotten involved with a little bit more, is the Swing Thought Tour. And they initially kind of caught my attention as kind of being over in their kind of the East Coast. I don't know where they started, how long ago they started, but they're expanding, they're growing, they're offering events all across the country. 2021 promises to be huge for them. So I got involved with them a little bit, earned a little kickback on an entry fee for the upcoming season. So the Swing Thought Tour, it's a mini tour. It's tons of professional events, and they do a really good job of kind of making it worth your time, making it worth your money. And from a developmental tour standpoint, I've just really kind of gained a lot of confidence in these guys, because I used to try to compete and played on. I entered a couple of events out in Arizona when I was out there years and years and years and years ago. They had the Gateway Tour, that was big. I thought that was cool. Over on the East Coast, gosh, what was the one I wanted to play in when I moved down to North Carolina in the first place? They have the G Pro Tours one. Golly, I can't remember. But Swing Thought has just continued to grow as a developmental tour. They do an awesome job of taking your entry fees and just paying it back, paying it out. And I think top 40% of the field gets paid every week. And good opportunity to kind of earn some cash while trying to, again, kind of improve your game and improve your level of competition and develop and grow in that way. And so, if I'm not mistaken, again, they haven't put out the schedule yet, but I've seen a lot of stuff on Swing Thought through social media and other avenues that it looks like they're bringing an event to Michigan, which I'm super excited about, because that's one of the things that I've always had a problem with is travel. Because you look at these developmental tour things, and that was a part of the reason why I wanted to move south in the first place, because it's a pain in the butt. I mean, entry fees are huge. I mean, you're looking at maybe 800 to $1,200 a pop for an event, and maybe it's 3 days, maybe it's 4 days, maybe it's 2 days, who knows? Depends on the tour. But then for me here in Michigan, you got to travel, you got to get out of this state, because what's there to kind of develop here in a season that's only 6 months long? It's not very good for that. And so you see a lot of guys go down south to Florida, playing events, go out west. I mean, that's where the opportunity is to play and compete on a most regular basis. So the fact that Swing Thought's going to be bringing something to Michigan next year, you can bet that I'll be penciling that into my schedule, assuming it doesn't fall on kind of in line with anything else that I want to compete and play in, whether that's local events or state events, Michigan Open, Michigan Am, or USGA stuff. We'll be kind of gunning for those this upcoming season as well. But I'm pretty optimistic. Again, without going into too much detail, I've got some good goals in place. I've got some good benchmarks to hit along the way, and I I'm very grateful and very appreciative of having the opportunity and the resources to do that. Whether that's through my job, whether that's through just my kind of sphere of influence, my network, the people that I work with that I'm close to in the game of golf. So pretty excited about that. And you guys, obviously the Michigan Golf Podcast has been huge. The response from you guys and the engagement and the opportunity to communicate and further grow and develop and everything that's kind of come along with this, sharing the journey, sharing the stories, and kind of getting the engagement from you guys has been awesome. And so that's been a huge part of this as well. No mistake in that. Heading out, what else is going on in the off season? I mean, again, kind of a rambly podcast because I feel like there's so much to talk about, but I also feel like there's not much to talk about, if that makes sense. And just trying to dial it in for you guys because, I mean, we talked mental game. We talked books. We're not book clubbing this week, and we're not course reviewing this week. We're setting goals. Hopefully, you guys have some good goals in place. And if you do, awesome. I mean, shoot them to me. Hit me up on Instagram at gsmithgolf. Again, the following's kind of getting bigger. I'm by no means a quote-unquote influencer, which I can't stand that word anyway. So, if I inspire you, awesome. If I don't, that's fine too. If you like listening, great. I by no means want to try and influence. However, that partnership with Orgain does kind of require some influencing because if you guys are trying to do right by your body, trying to hit bombs, trying to get big like Bryson, whatever you're trying to do, check out Orgain.com. Just kidding. Not going to go into that huge ad. But since you are a podcast listener here, I mean, if you do check it out and you do find something you like, you want to incorporate that into your kind of daily fitness and nutrition routine, use code MIGOLF30. I know my buddy Evan, he jumped on, he put in an order. Derek, he put in an order. I appreciate the support, dudes. It's been awesome. And again, you guys, I mean, look at that. We're here at 33 minutes and 33 seconds. So why not go jump on Orgain and get 30% off your first order? So synchronicity right there. I mean, what are the chances I'm talking about that at 3333? I don't know. Just what else is coming up? It's we're in between the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. What do I got going the next couple weeks? Again, playing golf Thursday, gonna meet with my coach on Friday. We're gonna kind of dive into a few things. First tee, West Michigan is growing. I know my coach is kind of he's looking to kind of scale back a little bit in what he does there. He wants to pursue a little bit more in the avenue of teaching and getting involved. I'm talking to a golf company. Kind of, I can't talk about this yet. Down in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Kind of talking about doing some stuff with them. So maybe more to come there on the Michigan Golf Podcast. And I just don't know. Fitness, nutrition, I want to bring that to you guys again, but I keep saying that. I keep saying that I want to do things, but I don't do them. And I think it's because I get distracted and kind of sidetracked. TrackMan University, if you guys check that out, that's been a huge resource for me. I've been going through that again, just kind of getting ready for some TaylorMade kind of training stuff as I get into the fitting season, readdressing TrackMan and ball flight laws and just kind of furthering my knowledge and understanding of that. That whole program is getting a revamp and a redo first of the year. So if you've gotten started with it, awesome. If you haven't, maybe you want to wait. Any incomplete content, anything that's incomplete that you've started and have not yet finished through TrackMan University is going to get wiped out. So you're going to have to start from scratch anyway. So maybe wait. Hold on tight. Check it out after the first of the year. Wait till we get through that. But what else? Just kind of collabing with some people, you know? Trying to expand. I mentioned a few episodes ago that I really do not have the reach and I do not have the capacity to kind of touch a lot of guys in kind of upper level golf. But I've got a couple of contacts, one down in North Carolina, trying to kind of wiggle my way down, depending on the time of the year. I mean, you guys know Brian Bros Golf, right? George Wesley, Trick Shot initially. Wesley's on the PGA Tour. George does the channel Brian Bros on YouTube still. Puts out a ton of cool content. Exchange a couple of messages with him and maybe try to get down to Aiken Golf Club. He's down in Aiken. I mean, whether it's podcast material or YouTube material or not, I don't know. But I mean, fanboy bucket list, play golf with George Brian at Aiken Golf Club. That'd be slick. So maybe that happens in February. I'm thinking about driving down through the Carolinas, see if I can squeeze George for a round at Aiken. If we can meet and tee it up, that'd be awesome. Also, still kind of working on, maybe you guys heard an episode a couple episodes ago, I don't know, the Ringer. Traditionally at Sweetens Cove, they got a sweet event. I watched Zach Blair, he did an Instagram live video a couple weeks ago talking about Ringer 2021 and the spring event and what they're going to be doing, and it's going to be huge. And I don't mean that like you know who means that, but it is. It's going to be huge, and it's going to be in North Carolina. Jump on, check it out. It's a little closer. They were at Sweetens Cove, which is probably just as close, honestly. It can't be more than like a 10-hour drive for me, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm going to hit that on the way either down or back to Alabama in February. So lots of good golf coming up. And just kind of with the way things are going, just kind of shifting my focus a little bit, trying to get things dialed in on my own capacity. And the holidays, I know you guys are busy podcasts. I mean, people aren't smashing that play button probably through Christmas and New Year's. But I don't know. I keep telling you guys maybe I'll take a break. Maybe I won't. These episodes are coming out once a week. And maybe that's enough. Maybe it's too much. And just trying to gauge. I'm new to the podcast scene. You know that. It started just last spring. So I want to stay relevant. I want to keep you guys engaged and keep kind of pushing content your way. But at the same time, I don't want to sit here and ramble about nothing, because I'm not here to waste your time. I want to improve your games and help you guys and just kind of explore Michigan golf and everything that this great state has to offer. So what I'm going to be doing in the coming weeks, coming month, I don't know, putting together kind of a bucket list for 2021. And maybe you guys want to contribute to that. If you do, awesome. Jump on Instagram at gsmithgolf. Shoot me a message. I'm going to be putting together kind of a course bucket list of what I want to touch in 2021, because a lot of the tournaments I play in are going to be at a lot of the same courses that I've already talked about. I've already reviewed everything kind of in the greater Grand Rapids area, whether it's public clubs, private clubs, and then stuff like that. So if there's stuff that you guys want to hear about, where do you guys want to go? Shoot me a message at gsmithgolf on Instagram. Let's talk about that, because I'll add it to the list. One that I wanted to hit the Bluffs course up at Arcadia and do that. I never made it back up there to actually play and talk about the Bluffs. Crystal Mountain's great. Love that place up there. Treetops is one of my favorites. I could talk Treetops. Haven't played there in a while, so I'd have to make the drive up to kind of get the refresher, but played there quite a bit back in college. I did have the opportunity to go up there for the Pepsi Challenge this year, and I regret not being able to do that. I was already committed to a couple other events, and I think I talked about that on the podcast back in early September. But Treetops is great, and there's so many golf courses in Michigan that I don't even know about, and that's what I'm coming to realize by doing this podcast and exploring things to talk about for you guys. Is there are so stinking mini golf courses. Not mini golf courses, I'm sure there are tons of mini golf courses as well, but there are so many golf courses here in Michigan that I can't even touch them all. So I've connected with a couple of people on Instagram, one over in the Detroit area, one over in the Lansing area, two major hubs for golf and in the metropolitan areas. And again, there's the UP up north. I mean, there's so many stinking hidden gems that I can't even touch half of them. So I'm kind of leveraging a couple other resources to try and get some engagement and get some involvement and bringing you guys kind of more of what you want. And that is another thing that I'm looking forward to 2021. I do have some goals. I will share this one with you, because I have some kind of goals for content creation. And I am not in marketing. I'm not in marketing. I'm not in design. I'm not in anything like that. And I kind of, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Paul, with his marketing background, maybe if he wants to get involved in a little greater capacity. I know we haven't had the chance to connect lately, but I kind of want to take this multimedia a little bit. And I'm not saying I want a full-blown YouTube channel and stuff like that, but the podcast is awesome. Instagram is awesome. But I've got a drone. I want to take some videos. I mean, drone videos are hot. People seem to like those. And I've got the opportunity to get out there and check out golf courses, whether it's take the drone out to American Dunes and explore that. Just take it out to the courses I play locally around here. And share some content, share some swing stuff, share some practice stuff. I want to, either whether it's make a little bit more in the video series things. I don't want to just talk by myself. So maybe I can drum up some stuff for 2021 as far as new content and new experiences go for you guys, and take the Michigan Golf podcast and make it more of a multimedia experience. So if you got ideas or if you want to collab, hit me up. I mean, I was talking to a dude on Instagram today over in Northern California. He's a TaylorMade fitter as well. And we just kind of happened to start chatting on Instagram today, and he's starting his YouTube channel. He's kind of exploring some of the stuff that I do, and I think we might have an opportunity to connect. And that's the beauty, I mean, of social media these days. I mean, it's an opportunity to kind of get out there, meet people, like-minded people that want to kind of create, want to kind of get stuff out there to the masses and provide some cool content from their perspective. So hopefully you guys like my perspective. I mean, everybody's kind of got their own, but I try and just make this as real as possible for all you guys. The highs, the lows, golf's not all sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't play well, and that's okay. I've talked about that before, and that's all part of the roller coaster that is this game. And if we didn't like it, we wouldn't ride it, right? So that was a ramble. That was a ramble. That was a rant. That was a super side tangent. Let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. I could sit here and try and rack my brain for more content and more stuff, but I've already burned 43 minutes of your time. So if you stuck around this long, awesome. I appreciate it. You guys are great. And hopefully you guys are setting some goals. Hopefully you guys are addressing the mental game. Hopefully you guys stay tuned to upcoming episodes, because this one was probably not a gem, but I appreciate you smashing that play button, tuning in, checking it out. Michigan Golf Podcast will have more to come. And I promise you, I always say I try and keep this organic, and I kind of record these on a whim in some capacity, but I'm going to start being more strategic about this. There's going to be more quote unquote product development that goes into play here. And I tried pushing a couple of people for some content ideas, and some of them were helpful, some of them weren't. One of them that came back to me was, H with like 4 or 5 M's after it. And if you're listening, you know who you are. You know who you are that sent me, And I can't produce content on that. That doesn't give me anything. And although I haven't, I'll get you on here as a guest, and we'll see how many times you, we get you on the podcast. So anyway, there will be more to come, and there will be more awesome, awesome stuff to come. So again, thanks for tuning in, guys. I appreciate it. Rest of the week, if you guys have a chance to get out, again, brave the elements, bundle up. It's going to take a few layers, but if it's not windy, get out and play golf. Because how often, I say this, but how often do we have a chance to golf in December? But I really truly feel like it's been every year for the last, I don't know how many years, because without going into the kind of political global debate of global warming, I do swear it used to snow here. I swear Michigan in December used to be snowing months, but since it's not, I'm going to play golf, and hopefully you guys are too. So get out, do that, enjoy the nice weather this week, and then when you guys get back next week, we'll have some cool content coming to the Michigan Golf Podcast, and we'll see where it goes from there. All right, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll catch you next time.